Blog Talk Radio.
This podcast is part of the Power of Podcasting Network. Find it at powerofpodcasting.com. Changing the world, one download at a time.
Ask the Podcast Coach for July 25th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, there it is. It is Saturday. It's time to bust out your new microphones. That's right. And get your podcast on. We are here every Saturday morning, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. And of course, you can listen to it in iTunes if you so desire. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach. I'm your host, Dave Jackson. And thank you so much for tuning in and joining me. Forget all the side effects. Ask your doctor if Jim Cullison is right for you. From theaverageguy.tv. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
It's going great, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. I say greetings. Greetings and happy Saturday morning to you. Great to be on the show again.
Yeah, it's we're all fired up here. We've had a really good conversation going on before the show even started today. Yeah. The chat room is fired up. And if you'd like to call in, you can do that. The number is, of course, 845-262. And I got to figure out how to do that. My iPad keeps letting me know every time the Google alert comes up that I got to turn off Google alerts or whatever it is, alerts for Google Plus, because it interrupts the phone jingle. That's not cool. 845-262-2401.
Well, is that the right number?
Is that the right number?
Is it a 347?
It is 347-850-8007. That's the old number. Still on the button.
It's still on the button. It's just the one you memorized.
Yeah, I'll have to go to my iPad and turn off all alerts or something like that. I used to have that problem, so I don't know what happened. But yeah, 347-850-8007. Of course, you can join us at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And do we want to play with microphones first?
Yeah.
I plugged it in. I did two things and said, because here's the thing, you're going to hear this again on the School of Podcasting, just for the record, but you heard it here first live. This is the new Audio Technica, and that's the only thing, the way I have it plugged in is I can't really spin it around much, but it's the Audio Technica BP40, and it's heavy duty. It is like, number one, it's actually more expensive than a Heil PR40. Can I turn this? I don't have enough cable
here. You're doing okay. That's fine.
But I mean, it's a black microphone, big diaphragm, thing. And, all I did this morning was I went through and made sure it wasn't clipping and things like that. And so what I'm going to do, see, this isn't fair because you guys already know which microphone is which. I was going to try to do it, to see if I could do a taste test here to figure out which one, is which. Okay, so we'll just here we go. So this is the BP40.
Nope, it's muted.
It's muted. Here we go. Yep. Now it's the BP40. Yes.
There we go.
I always got to remember to send everything to the sub. You are the sub. And so this is first of all, let's make it a fair fight. Oh, it is already a fair fight. I've had my my DBX 286. It's out of the chain.
So you're not routing it. You took it out of the mix.
Yep, everything. So this is just straight microphone to microphone. So this is the BP40.
It sounds soft. Not soft like volume soft, but I mean the vocal tones are soft and they're warm.
Yeah, it's definitely got a warmer tone. Yeah. And this is, again, we're back to the RE320, which now seems hyper clear. And I looked over and I'm like, do I have this like boosted with the treble and like everybody's flat 12 o'clock. And if I go back to the BP40, it definitely has more of a warmer tone to it.
Yeah. Not quite as sharp, but it feels more comfortable actually to my ears. Audio Technica is more comfortable to listen to.
And now obviously I can sit here with a mixer and make the RE320 sound just like the BP40 and the BP40. Right. Sound, you know, I mean, I can sit here and boost up my treble.
And it's hard to tell the difference between the two.
You know, I can, although it does help if you turn up the treble on the right channel, otherwise it doesn't do anything. There's a little lesson for you. So yeah, now I can see I'm boosting some of my highs and, there's no compression on this or anything, but, I was like, okay, so it's definitely got a warmer tone to it. And I did the old Peter Piper Peck. So I think if you do that with any microphone, though,
you're going to need, you know, if I were to just kind of do one of these things and talk across it more, so I don't have to worry about Piper pecking pickled peppers. You know, I think that's with any microphone. But again, if I go back to the RE320, it's definitely got a clearer sound to it. And I was looking, yeah, at this point, I'm not rolling off any bass. Let me grab a pen. I don't hear a lot of difference. Back to this microphone. This is with the bass rolled off. And if I sit here and, yeah, so that is turned off. So, and when I flip this on, I will flip it on now. It does, there we go. Now it's, I don't hear a whole lot of, maybe a subtle difference in bass there. But to me, I kind of go, it's a microphone. You know what I mean? It's like, is there any real difference? It's got a warmer, again, let me go back.
And more expensive than the Heil PR40?
Yeah, it's $350.
Wow.
I went over to, of course, blatant plug, bestpodcastinggear.com, which is my Amazon site, because I added it to the store. And I'm like, oh, if I'm going to be talking about this, I should probably have it over here for people to buy. And as I run it, because it's, you know, the RE20, which is like the actual big radio mic that everybody always, you know, if you go into any studio, you're going to see those. And yeah, right now, BP40 large diaphragm dynamic microphone, $349. Where the RE320, the one I'm talking into right now, is $299. So you're talking $50 difference.
And how much is an RE20?
An RE20 is $450.
Okay. So that's the big one. That's yeah. That's the big cheese.
Yeah. I do like the stand is really cool. Number one, it's kind of weird because at first I thought, oh, it's plastic, which, you know, the one, and this isn't an official Electro Voice. This is just something I bought off of Amazon, but it has this cool like locking mechanism so that the mic really doesn't move once it's in there. And it was, you know, not that a mic stand is that hard to figure out, but it didn't take much to figure out how to install it. And I'll have to play some more with it, but I'm with you. The first thing I went is, wow, this definitely has its own tone. You know what I mean? When I turn it on, like some mics are clear and some are a little more bassy. And I know we had an interesting discussion on the Podcasters Roundtable about, you know, like when is it? When do you upgrade? Because some of us just want to keep buying more and more gear. And like, when does it make sense to upgrade? And, you know, Daniel J. Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast was talking about how, you know, he bought a Heil PR40 because, well, everybody said that's, you know, that's the way to go. And it's not a bad microphone, but it really does boost the bottom end. And a lot of people now are starting to go, I want it to sound more, you know, more not realistic, but, you know, don't boost it too much. And again, you can take a Heil PR40 and cut out some of the bass. I think that's what Ray said he does. Because there was an article by the guys at NPR. And of course, the microphone they mentioned was like $1,200 or something ridiculous. And they mentioned how they cut a lot of the bass end, where some of us are really trying to, you know, if I now take this off of, where's my bypass button? If I now actually kick in the 286.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going to say, let me boost that down a bit.
Yeah.
Holy cow, now that we're all deaf. You know, I definitely have a little of that lower end getting boosted in. Yeah, Mike Phillips says the microphone was $3,500. Nice. Yeah, the Neumann U87. And I don't think that's buy one, get one free, which is kind of a bummer. You know.
How awesome would that be?
Yeah.
That'd be a good one to do buy one, get one free on.
I know Mike says the Rode Podcaster. And that's another one that's really confusing. They have like there's one that's just USB and then there's one that's not. From Rode, says it does need a pop filter, but the mic leaves a lot to be desired. I've heard about that a lot, that microphone is kind of just muddy and, you know, and
it's like the Audio Technica's 2020, you know, that AT2020 that a lot of guys, I've seen a couple guys get, not great. It's not a very good microphone.
Yeah, I have one of those in a drawer.
it's a cylinder, you know, and sits up, and I had a guy buy one and jump on, and I'm like, let's not use that. Can you bring the 2100 back? Please, let's not use that one. It just didn't sound very good.
But hey, if you got questions, I'll actually give you the right number this time. It's 347-850-8007. Again, that's 347-850-8007. And if you happen to be listening on Mixler or Spreaker or Blog Talk Radio, we're over at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And the big news this week that came out was mid-roll which is a company, one of the companies that, like, I think Mark Maron, because they kept mentioning Mark Maron. This is on the Wolf Den podcast. They actually interviewed the people from Scribs, which I guess is this old school, like, back in the day kind of newspaper kind of thing. They got into cable when it was new, and they purchased Midroll. So it's kind of an old company buying, seeing the, we're hoping that they're saying that, hey, we see the value in podcasting. And so they bought Midroll. And the fun part is this company already has relationships with all sorts of people that advertise in newspapers and radio and cable. And we're hoping to bring those people into the podcasting world. So it's one of those where I'm like, I need to look up and exactly figure out who the company is. I've heard a little bit about them, and I listened to that episode on The Wolf Den, I think is the name of the show.
They may actually bring, Dave, a little bit of discipline to this area, because it's a wild west right now with podcasting. It's just all over the place. And we were just talking in the pre-show about CPM and how do you, you know, what's the right amount of CPM and, you know, all those things that go into it. And I don't think anybody's got a great, anybody's got a handle on it.
At this
point. It's still kind of all over the place. And some of the podcasters argue about it, about what's right and what's wrong and some of those kinds of things. So, you know, eventually in a capitalistic society, right, which is where we are, everything consolidates. It's just the way it goes. If you look at every major invention since the beginning of time, they've all consolidated. It's never good for the consumer, but that's what happens.
Well, look,
and then they get disrupted and the cycle starts over, right? Yep. That's kind of how it starts. So, you know, in podcasting, we're going to see massive consolidations over the next decade. I mean, it's just going to, if it's going to be successful, it will consolidate and there will just be a handful of players left that have figured out how to monetize it. We'll have two major companies at the end, two or maybe a third.
Right.
And that'll just be what it is. And so you're starting to see the beginning of that. And I think this is the beginning of the consolidation cycle.
Well, and I think the, if you look at things like satellite radio, right, we had XM and then you had, I forget the other one, Sirius.
Sirius.
And that didn't last long before they consolidated because there wasn't enough of a user base to require to, because somebody, Oliver in the chat room says, okay, so Coca-Cola and Pepsi are going to merge. And like, no, because there's plenty of user base there to.
Yeah. No, I don't think we get down. We always get down to one. In a lot of cases, it's two or maybe three. Yeah. That's kind of the where it's, but it's usually two, right? That's kind of the, if you look at a lot of Android and iPhone, right?
Right. Yeah.
As much as I like to say Windows plays in that, they don't. But, and that was a market. I mean, think about that. 5 years ago, that was a market that was pretty diverse. There were a couple more players. Look at the airlines. They're consolidating again.
Yeah.
Look at the telephone companies, right? We've had to break them up a couple times to make that thing work, right? And they're all consolidated again.
Yeah.
So it's just the it's, you know, it's just the nature of the beast. Mike Phillips says pod feeding will accelerate. It has to accelerate, right? The ecosystem cannot support this many podcasts that's out there right now, right? It just, people will not have the tolerance to go find out. Once podcasting makes it big, right? And people, let's assume for a second it makes mainstream. People will not tolerate this many choices. It's just not, look at cable TV today.
Right? Oh, jeez.
God, you got a million choices, right? People don't, it's crazy how bad of an experience that is. And so I just think it won't, I mean, think of, so cable TV is 200 choices and people complain about that.
Yeah.
Talk about how many podcasts do you think, I mean, let's just say it's 2000, right? That the individual person, that's way too many choices. So it's going to have to fade down. Here's what I think will happen, Dave, is a lot of people have gotten into this. They'll do it for a year or two. They'll see it's hard work. They're not making any money and they'll get out. So this current bubble of podcasters, I think will slow way down here in the next year or two or three. The good ones will stay. The bad ones will depart. And that's the way it should be, right?
Right.
That's the Darwinian approach to it.
The cream will rise to the top.
Yeah, well, yeah, and maybe not necessarily the best ones, but the best marketed ones for sure will rise to the top.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And I know I was listening to, I think it's Dan Benjamin over on 5x5 Network, and he was saying he's noticed that his live numbers are kind of dipping. He goes, not drastically, but they're down a bit. He says, now the overall downloads are the same. In fact, they're going up a little bit. And he asked his audience, he's like, you know, what's the deal? And they're like, well, it's not that they don't dislike the live experience, but it used to be, it was kind of like, ooh, this is special. We can hear this live. And just more and more people are used to, I want it when I want it, where I want it, that we're just getting more and more used to that time shiftedness. And,
I think the cool factor, what you just said, right, was the, whoa, this is, you know, like, I can listen to these, and now it's like, I can just hear them anytime I want. So, you know, you put it on your phone and you just make it work. So we too, both my show, both my tech show and Gallup, when we first put those out and we started doing them live, we saw gigantic live numbers, like 500 live one time, right, is what I did on that Gallup show. Incredible numbers. Well, that's dipped back to a sustainable 50 to 75 live that we do now on a regular basis. Those are still really good numbers for live, right, when we think about that. But the audio downloads have gone 10 times that amount from the beginning. So people are coming over, they're realizing, hey, I don't have the time to sit down and listen to you at my computer.
Right.
Well, you know, that just doesn't work.
And the thing that Dan was saying, he goes, the other reason that people aren't listening live is people are like, well, I have other podcasts to listen to. Like, people are starting, like, the people that find it now have a bunch, and they're like, well, you know, rather than take the time out here, I'll just listen to it. And that was the other one where it used to be like people would find a podcast or two. And that typically is still kind of the thing. The average Joe Schmo non-geeky person is listening to a podcast or maybe two a week. I think the one was, what was the one stat? It was like one a day basically is what it amounted to, but it was like six by the end of the week. But it was some kind of weird stat. But, you know, as more and more people start to discover podcasts, like for me, I've been looking at my list and saying, okay, do I get anything out of this podcast? And in some cases, you know, just unsubscribing, or I'm noticing that more and more of them are, you get that whole thing in the podcast app where it unsubscribes you because you haven't listened in a while. And I'm like, cause I was like, I actually got to a point where I was driving a lot this week. So I was in the car, and all of a sudden I didn't have a podcast almost to listen to. I didn't quite get there. And it was because so many of them had not been downloading the new episode because I just hadn't listened in a long, long time.
Well, live is dying, except apparently on Saturday mornings
at
9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, because we get a pretty good live crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's, but this is different, right? It's a little bit different. The interaction we do, I mean, and Stargate Pioneer saying, you know, they have a lot of fun. I think if you're going to continue to be live, you have to work extra hard to really engage that live audience, right? They have to matter. They have to get on the show. They have to have the ability to call in, that kind of stuff. And to really give them that feeling like they're there. If not, I'm not sure it's that engaging just to listen to two guys coming out talking to each other. So give us a call.
Yeah, that's right. Doggone it. 347-850-8007. I had a, 347-850-8007. I had a very strange thought in the parking lot last night about, I don't know, whatever time I left here, about 7, I think it was yesterday when I got out of here. Is Podcast Movement is next weekend, right? That is, yeah. So I was going to see if I can, I have an opportunity to record live at Podcast Movement. So do we want to give you the controls and I'll try to call in, or what's the plan for next week?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. And then the other thing that it dawned on me, which I haven't really mentioned, I'm nominated for an award in the technology thing. And I really, there was this weird voice in my head that said, okay, one of my kind of little mini mantras is always take, you know, get the most out of every opportunity. And there was a voice in my head that said, you know, if you win this thing, everyone in that room is going to be listening to you. So you should have some sort of just kickback, entertaining, fun, inspiring acceptance speech that's not, you know, 30 minutes long. And then the other voice in my head said, you've been nominated, I think, 4 or 5 times now for different podcasts. Do not, because there's nothing more fun than doing the, you know, you have your speech in your pocket and you pull it out and you're like, all right, well, you know, next year, I guess, you know, the crinkle of shame as you lose the again.
Crinkle of shame. I love it.
And that's awesome. So there's this weird thing in my head that you kind of go, all right, do I actually go through and maybe let my mind think for a second that I can win? So I'm thinking, all right, I got to thank these people and this people. And I don't want to just get up there and go, you know. I should take that opportunity in the event I win. And that's where I just like, you know, it kind of is one of those things where it does take a little courage to be a podcaster because, you know, people may not like your show or this and that. And I was like, no, I'll have to sit down and actually make some notes just in case, you never, because I'm up against the feed. I mean, I'm in a technology category, so I'm up against like big hitters, and it'll be interesting to see. But I just thought that was odd. I was like, oh yeah, I probably should.
Yeah, you should have something ready.
I should have something ready just
in case. You never know. But it's that's a pretty daunting list that you're up against.
Yeah, and because I watched, did you watch the ESPYs?
No.
The Caitlyn Jenner show. Oh, it was great fun. But it was weird because there was somebody that won an award that actually had not obviously prepared anything, and everybody else had something. And even if it was just like, hey, thank the nominees and thanks the ESPYs and blah 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 and thanks mom, and this guy just got up and kind of went, wow, I didn't think I was going to win. Thanks. And it was kind of like, wow, what a boob. And so yeah. I'm like, all right, so I need to avoid the what a boob.
Have something,
ready, yeah, right? Have something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Hey, Mike had put in the chat room here just as we were getting started. We were talking about CPM. I think this might be an interesting kind of thought, right? Yeah. It's that, you know, for businesses or for people who have things to sell, and if you're taking advertising on your own show, you know, should your product be enough to advertise on your own, you know, for your own product? In other words, do you really need to advertise for somebody else if what you're selling is good enough? If CPM works, right? If you're advertising on your show and you're getting good value, you should have products that maybe you're selling on your own program to get that CPM. Instead of advertising for somebody else, you advertise for you. Whether that be t-shirts or like in Gallup's case, we are working our Strengths Finder codes and our training and stuff like that. We don't try to do any. In fact, I've stripped all advertising out of our podcast, right? I don't let Google do any. I don't let on YouTube. I don't let anything in. It's just our message. That's all we want, right? And so is your message strong enough from what you're selling, whether it's t-shirts or books or stuff like that, that a CPM works? Shouldn't that work for you, right? Shouldn't it work for your stuff, right?
Absolutely. Wow, this is so weird because this is actually one of the topics. It might be this Monday show for the School of Podcasting. Is your podcast in alignment with your goal? And so the example I'm going to give, there's a woman who does, it's kind of a real estate investing kind of show. And it's perfect because her episodes give value and they kind of give you insights into things that you didn't know. Wow, I didn't know I could do this and that. And I didn't know there was this rule and this and that. And so she tells you what's possible, but then charges for how to do it. And that I've heard a lot of people say that charge for the how and give away the what and the inspirational stuff for free. And I was like, wow, it's just a great example because at the end of the episode, I was like, wow, this sounds like something I really want to look into. And then I go to her website. Oh, by the way, if you want to, you know, take your education up a notch, sign up here for a course. I was like, wow, that is perfectly aligned. And I know, I think it was Mike that said that, you know, Rush Limbaugh basically sold his own product. And
think of Dave Ramsey.
Yep.
Right. He does. No one does it better than Dave Ramsey.
That's true.
About your own gig from that standpoint.
And I'm hearing in the chat room that we somehow have lost Mixler. Let me double check on that. But yeah, because if you can, in theory, if you know, if you're making a connection with, we still have blinking lights. Anybody okay. else?
Just refresh it.
Yeah. How do you?
Although they can't hear us to, Mike can't hear us to say refresh his windows. So,
yeah, you know,
that's always the solution. If they ever lose anything for podcast, I hear this all the time on our Gallup podcast. You know, oh, I lost the audio. Did you? You know, that goes on chat room, and almost nobody else has lost it except that person. And so I always just say refresh.
Yeah, Fred is asking, am I going to wear a suit again at Podcast Movement? I brought a suit last year to speak. Just thought, you know what, I want to do something stand up differently. I'll have to think about that because a suit in August in Texas doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
No, not great. It's super hot down right now.
Yeah. I think I'll probably wear a tie. I think I'll probably wear a shirt and tie. I don't know if I'll bring the jacket, but the other thing is that you don't think about is just, you know, wrinkling a shirt, not a big deal. Wrinkling a suit, whole nother can of worms in terms of, you know, taking it someplace to get it.
It's a good idea though. I don't think, you know, speaking.
Yeah.
In that kind of scenario, wearing a suit, it's never bad to overdress.
Yeah.
In those situations. So
yeah, probably, it's better to be overdressed, I guess, than underdressed.
Yeah. You always want to outdress your audience. Yeah. That's, apparently not on Saturday mornings. Apparently,
no.
We don't
roll out of bed. I have not even shaved today. I was like, I just
no, me neither. Me. I roll out of bed. I mean, literally, I rolled out of bed 30 minutes ago. Make some coffee, grab a little cereal, roll down here. About 10 minutes till you call me. So let's not have any aspirations that I'm down here preparing hours in advance to get ready for Ask the Podcast.
The chat room is throwing out ideas to wear, and they range from bow tie to Speedo. That would be wow. That would clear the room right there, and as well as a tux and tails. Awesome. Hey, speaking of.
You don't wear those to the awards, though, right? This is the one thing you don't like. So say, like, you're in this category, right? And if you dress up for the awards and then you don't win, then you look like a doofus, right? That's the kind of – so if you, like, you went in a tux to the awards, nobody else will be there. That is a little – that's jumping the shark, right? You know, I don't think you want to do that. That's – especially in the case where, you know, you're an underdog. I think that's safe to say, right? I mean, you're up against some tough, tough corporate. There's some corporate podcasters in there, right? That's what that and so, but you went in there full suit, like what was the movie? The one with Ben Stiller where he's the male model, Zoolander.
Yeah,
and they call the guy's name and he walks up to do the to do the acceptance speech. Maybe you should pull off one of those this year. So they call somebody else's name, you just walk up like it's like it's
maybe I'll do a Kanye. Go up. What are you talking about? Yeah. The award we're talking about is academyofpodcasters.com. And I'm trying to see who the heck I'm nominated against. The Academy, the awards. Here we go. Nominees. And wow, they have a ton of, here we go. Lifestyle and health science. I'm in technology. Okay. Daily Technique. Right there. Mac OS Ken. I don't even listen to that show, but I've heard so many people talk about it. Reply All. Okay, I'm up against Gimlet, School of Podcasting, Security Now, Tech News Today.
Security Now is a big deal.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm not wearing a tux. The Feed, The Feed Podcast, I see. The MacCast, and This Week in Tech. So, this is definitely an honor to be in this
going
category.
Going up against the Godfather.
Yeah. Going up against the Godfather.
That was on a segment somewhere recently.
Yes. One day you will owe me a favor to review
now,
my
Daniel podcast. Now, Daniel reminds you. I think he's trying to encourage you, Dave.
Yeah.
That you're going, this is the Academy choosing these, not the people's choice.
Yeah.
So maybe you should wear the tux. I don't know. Maybe you got an in. You're an Academy favorite. Let's just say that. I mean, you made the list.
That's true.
You never know.
Yeah.
All
right. I do have a question. This was from the School of Podcasting Facebook group. And I'm not sure where this came from, but I was glad he asked it because I was like, wow, this is, it was from Dan Freeman. He says, I'm still working through the School of Podcasting. He says, but in regards to iTunes, is there an application process to register the upcoming podcast? And especially I want to lock in the name. So I'm not sure where he got that idea, but I was like, and obviously I've already answered this, but in case you ever think that, I'm sure there are plenty of podcasts in there with the same name. I would think, I don't know if it would, you know, conk you out and say, I'm sorry, there's already one called blah, 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 This Week in something, something. But no, there's no, the application is you go in and obviously you have, however you're getting an iTunes compliant feed, you go in and do that and you submit that to iTunes. And if it's valid and you don't have unlicensed music in it and you don't have, you know, curse words that you're not marked explicit, you know, basically you follow all the rules to get into iTunes, somewhere between 48 hours and 2 weeks, you'll get in there. So there's no kind of, rules or anything like that in terms of getting in there. But, I thought that was kind of interesting. But the other thing I did see somebody say, and I've seen two people do this now, they say, I'm launching my show on this date. And I've been telling everybody, realize you have no control on how long it takes iTunes to list your show. So I always say, pick your launch date after you're in iTunes. You know, make it, tell people it should be sometime in September. And then when it shows up on August 31st, say it's launching on September 7th and send everybody over there on the same day and get them to rate and review and that yards. But I just couple little things I saw in terms of launching a podcast that I was like,
it's hard to control all those things. You know, it's just they're in somebody else's hands. iTunes is getting faster. I mean, I think they are responding faster than they ever have. So I think that's getting better. But you talk about TuneIn Radio. TuneIn? Yeah, it's a TuneIn Radio or is it TuneIn? I think it's just TuneIn, right? They are, they pick up your feed. And so when I've noticed for them, I mean, iTunes picks mine when I drop a new show in. This isn't necessarily related to launching, but a new show in, iTunes picks it up way faster than TuneIn does. It takes 6, 7, 8 hours sometimes for TuneIn to pick up my show and get that done. So, you don't necessarily have control over that. That same question comes up all the time in a little different twist, which is there a right time of the day to post my podcast? Right. And you'll get varying answers like, or is there a right, if I have a weekly podcast, is there a right time and a right day? You know, and people are like, no, you know, yes, there is. I do my Monday morning at 6 a.m. Well, okay. It's already, you know, it's already other times and other time zones. And, you know, is it 6 a.m. because you're focusing on an American audience, those kinds of things. So I think that's another question that comes up all the time. Dave, I know you schedule yours, right? You schedule your, when school podcasting comes out, it's on a scheduled post time.
Yeah. It's Monday at midnight, basically. Basically Sunday night is when it comes out. So when the minute it turns Monday, it's out.
And so you do that by creating a draft in WordPress that then you schedule it. So you get everything ready, test your links, put the audio in, right? Have everything going. Yeah. So you're like, okay, this, because that's important, right? You want put an MP3 file in there. You want to make sure it's actually there and it's working. And then you schedule it in WordPress to go at midnight, right?
I actually do both, because in this case, it's a kind of an exception. The Libsyn is actually the feed that is controlling the school of podcasting, which is kind of good because I've been doing so much stuff with the front end of the school of podcasting. It's nice to not have to worry about, am I jacking my feed? Because it's just coming from Libsyn. But yeah, I schedule it on Libsyn to go out at midnight, and then I go over to WordPress and schedule it to go out at midnight. So in theory, they're both going out at the same time. That way the post doesn't go out and there's no audio and vice versa. And I just kind of, but yeah, that's, if I wasn't using Libsyn for my feed, I would do the same thing. I would do it in Libsyn or in WordPress.
And I'm the exact opposite. I just post it whenever I'm doing it. So it's usually on a Saturday sometime. I just get it in, I get everything set, publish, boom, out. And then I go through and start posting them. As soon as I publish it to the WordPress site, then I start pushing it to the various, you know, Podmatic, Audio Boom, Spreaker, you know, those services that I use. It doesn't seem to affect my downloads, or, you know, I don't think it penalizes me and my listeners. They're used to, okay, it's going to come out sometime over the week. I think they're used to that. So maybe consistency, the lack of consistency is consistency in some cases. If you're going to do it that way every time.
Sure.
So your users, sometimes I get busy on the weekends. This is why I don't publish at a certain time. I do a show Thursday night and I need the weekend to produce it. And sometimes, like last night, I went out last night. Well, I'm behind already on my producing. It may not come out today. It may come out tomorrow, right? Based on, so I've just chosen to do it as it's ready. I've never had a listener email me and say, oh, I was really looking forward to seeing your podcast Saturday noon. You know, I just haven't.
Yeah.
I'm not dogging on your, I think there's great discipline in that to get that done. I'm one of those listeners who I get in the car every Monday morning. First thing I do is listen to the school podcasting. That's my routine, right? So I'm glad you have it scheduled. If you were willy-nilly with it and that's my routine, I may not have the confidence every Monday, like, okay, did Dave do it this week or not? You know, kind of thing. So that's where a schedule can really help.
What's really weird is how fast time goes. Because I was looking, I have in the podcast app, you can set up channels. And one of my channels is called My Stuff. And so I can always make sure that all my stuff is downloading. And I haven't put out I do a podcast called The Logical Weight Loss Podcast. And it really is, I'm smelling pod fade all over this thing. And I haven't put out an episode in a month. And I was like, I probably should move that up with the priority list. But it is one of those things where, you know, when you talk about consistency, I don't really have a lot to say. That's the problem with that podcast. I don't have that golden nugget that I go, oh, I can't wait till, you know, I'm going to show them this or tell them this. And they're going to go, oh man, did you hear what Dave said on the show? So I think a lot of it is consistency in content. I think you'll definitely get, if you look at Dan Carlin of Hardcore History, you know, that guy has a very bizarre, Joe Rogan is another one. And then when they come out, they also break the rule of, you know, they're 3 and 4 hours long. So, but you're right. I always say, if you can do it on a consistent basis, you basically have, you know, you do become part of the routine of some folks. And so that's kind of the bonus of that. But hey,
it's neither or. It's not either or, though. You can do it either way.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I think it kind of depends on your audience. So,
absolutely. Well, let's remind everybody that, hey, if you got a question, you can call on in. It's 347-850-8007. Again, that number is 347-850-8007. And before I forget, I meant to say this at the beginning of the show. Today, at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I will be a guest on Steve Stewart's, the one and only, Money Plan SOS, Steve Stewart's Audacity Workshop webinar. This is today. If you go to stevestewart.me/live, and we're going to be talking, I'm going to be talking about how to organize your podcast. And it's kind of fun because I get to do kind of what I talk about for my day job, which is teaching people computers. And it's amazing. I had a class on Friday, and it's kind of, to a certain extent, I'm going to blame Microsoft a little bit on this. Microsoft makes the default location for everybody my documents. And a lot of people, they just have 8 million files in my document. And consequently, they can't find anything. So we're going to go over kind of how to organize your files a little bit, and then some tips and tools on making things a little more efficient. We'll talk about a little bit of my workflow, but it's an hour. It starts at 2 Eastern Standard Time. Again, if you want to find that, go over to stevestewart.me/live. So I'm looking forward to that, just because I get to hang out with Steve Stewart for an hour. So that'll be fun. But what else shall we talk about today?
You know what they asked last week? Oop, I got a little echo back. Is that me?
I haven't touched a button.
That's so weird. All of a sudden, I started getting echo. Oh, it's gone. That's weird. Okay. Well, I wonder if they did you hear it, or was it just me?
I didn't hear it.
Okay. All right. Maybe it was on my side. That was weird. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
You can cut that part out. It was just a really loud echo. You know, you get this, and that's a little you know, when you're podcasting and you hear your own voice back a second later, mm-hmm. Sounds so weird. Okay. Voice meter. So last week at the end of the show, excuse me, someone had asked me if we could talk a little bit more about voice meter and what it does. And I think, you know, for me, the way I use it today is I use a third PC in the mix when I'm, say, I have if I were talking with you, Dave, if we were doing this and I was controlling it, I would have an additional PC that had us both coming into that single PC in a hangout. And then I would be using voice meter to basically, it's like a virtual mix minus in a lot of ways, or it's in my case, it's like an audio repeater. It takes all the sound that's coming out of the speaker. So you and I would be talking to that third PC. Think about it. Our voices would be coming into the third PC, coming out the speaker port, right? So that if someone was listening, it's a virtual one. I run it in the cloud, but think about it virtually. It would be coming out of the speakers, right? Our voices, if somebody was listening, it'd be coming out physically out of the speaker port. Our audio is combined on that channel. If you took that sound and then rerouted it back into the microphone, I could then broadcast that back out like on Spreaker or Mixler or do whatever, right? I could record it on Audacity and mm-hmm. those kinds of things. Well, Voice Meter is this virtual, it's basically a virtual mixer that you can install on your computer. And it creates this virtual audio cable experience that would allow you to do that virtually. Today, when I'm doing it on a physical PC, I actually have a jack that's got 2/4-inch plugs on either side. You know, it's the one you would use for your iPod or whatever, or for your phone to plug into your car, and I route it out of the speaker and it goes back into the microphone. Works great for that scenario, right? Again, I can record everything that's coming in on the mic jack to get that done. Well, the voice meter does this for me, and it does it virtually. Creates these virtual audio cables. For a long time, if you look up or you Google virtual audio cable, that's actually a product you can buy. I think it's $25. That allows you to do all kinds of cool things with your audio on a single PC. So if you ever wanted to grab audio from one spot and put it in another on a microphone jack, virtual audio cables will allow you to do that without any hardware at all. Mm. And so this is one of those kind of things. It's hard to explain. You just kind of try it out and kind of work with it. think of audio. Well, I always think of audio in streams of water. Like, so when I speak, it's water coming out and it's flowing and it's going someplace. And so it's coming out of the speaker, it's going back into the microphone, and then I can do some recording or whatever I want to do with it. So Voice Meter is free, although they do have, it's on a donation basis. I use it so much, I've made a donation for it. And you want to, it just allows you, like I said, it allows you to grab different things that are happening on one PC and route them to another port on the PC and then control the effects. Voice Meter has a cool effects box in it too. So the sound, like your sound effects, like your mixer, mm-hmm. is represented as a box. And as you move the dot around in the box, it changes it, like, so low is on one side, high is on the other. And then the up and down is represented, I think, in a volume, or so you can move that dot around and it will change the sound quality of your voice coming out, you know, of what the listeners are hearing. It's also got fades on it. It's got mute. It's got solo. So if you're used to working on a mixer, all those things would make sense. It's incredibly powerful. And so this is one of those kinds of things that if you're interested in monkeying around, and we're all interested in monkeying around with different, yeah, Dave's bringing that up on the screen right now. If you're interested with monkeying around with different kinds of audio, Voice Meter might be one of those things that you might want to try. And you can see there, as Dave's in there, that's the picture of, that's what you see on the screen, right? That's your virtual mixer that is there. And you can see that box with the red dot. That's what I was talking about, where you can change the tone and the you know, the bass or treble, what have you. Hmm. You can kind of tell how loud you are or whatever. If you're an audio guy, you might like this, right? And you can do different outputs. You can do outputs to the speaker or outputs to Audacity or anything, Audition, any of those things would take the outputs. A lot of gamers are using this to reroute their gaming, and then they're rerouting their audio out through to a service, they're recording those pieces. So Voice Meter, it's worth a look. If you're a audio geek, and you haven't tried Voice Meter yet, you might want to just give it a, there's the donation link down there at the bottom.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily take a lot of juice to get it rolling. So that's Voice Meter.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. It's one of those where it's like, you know, because that's one of the things that people always try to do is, you know, they're trying to, you know, either record a show of, you know, they have somebody on Skype and they want to record that. And that gets kind of icky because you're trying to send the sound of your guest back into the computer so you can record it without having them get this giant echo. And so,
yes, and Voice Meter would do it for you.
Yeah, I'm going to say, so to me, just the fact that you can do it, I'm like, and it's like you said, it is kind of a visual thing where you kind of just have to play with it. And do you know, in terms of, were you able to just kind of, you know, monkey with it and figure it out? Yeah. Or is there any kind of documentation? Yeah.
No, there's documentation. There's a bunch of videos that you want to watch. So just YouTube Voice Meter.
Yeah.
Watch all the videos. There's some guys that have done some really cool stuff with it. That's what I actually used it when I hosted Ask the Podcast Coach, whenever that was, a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. It was, I used Voice Meter for that. So that's how we got that, that piece done. It took me a little monkeying around to, you know, get some things figured out and okay, this works that way. And it does some things. It creates some sound. It creates some permanent sound ports on your PC. So if you install it on Windows, I didn't do it on Mac, so I can't talk to Mac. But on Windows, it creates new sound ports. You get a new microphone and a new speaker, and then it takes them over. And if once you set those to that, then it permanently affects the way your audio is played out through everything. So like my speakers stopped working because I didn't have my speakers attached to that particular port, and so. There's some caveats in there. I think, you know, go in eyes wide open. This isn't, I'm going to install it and be done in 2 minutes and it's going to be working. This is going to be it's like putting a physical mixer into the equation, right? You don't just set it up and then like in 5 minutes, right? We all have got new mixers, maybe not all of us, but those of us that have got new mixers, you know, you're pushing all the buttons and, oh, what does this do? You know, oh, hey, this is kind of cool. So you want to spend some time kind of getting familiar with it, but I don't think it's hard. Right. I mean, I think if you're willing to give it a couple hours of time, might be a tool. It's a tool is what it is. Right. It might be something to put in your toolbox. It's not for everybody. Not everybody should be using it. There's certain cases where it's good. But for you that are looking for these kinds of things, you might want to take a peek at a Voice Meter and give a donation.
Yeah, that's the thing that
if you use it, donate to it.
Yeah, I had another question I saw in a Facebook group today that said there's a couple of these. One is, I think, called Wix. And the other one is called Weebly. Mm-hmm. And so I had two people or somebody had tried both these and they sound really cool, drag and drop kind of stuff. But when you go to make like an RSS feed that's iTunes compliant, you're kind of lacking. And they said, so I finally drank the WordPress Kool-Aid. And they said, should I go with a free plugin? You know, there are a lot of cool free plugins. There are a lot of cool free themes. You know, should I do this or should I go with a premium? And so I always say, if you've got the budget, because it hasn't happened a lot, but I have seen sites where using something free and, you know, you've got a developer back there. And we all know WordPress changes on a regular basis. And that's the good news and the bad news, right? They're always adding new features. They're always adding, you know, security things for it because it's a web-based item. And I've seen a couple times where free stuff, the developer's just tired of constantly having to update it and they just leave. I mean, probably the most famous one, of course, was PodPress, which was the precursor to PowerPress. And that guy just walked away and not only did it, you know, break, but people couldn't even log into their websites. It's like, what? And WordPress had to go in and fix that. And so I always say, if you have the budget, because they were asking about Appendipity themes and Genesis, and I like those guys. I really like Elegant Themes as well. I'm starting to dig more and more into their stuff. So if you've got the budget for it, you know, even ThemeForest has those are premium themes, but they're not quite as expensive. But they usually have people that have incentive to, you know, keep their stuff current and support it, things of that nature. I always say if you're really worried, go to you know, whatever themes website, try the support link. You know, hey, I'm thinking of doing this. You know, how many websites can I load it on, or something like that. You can ask them any question. You see how long it takes to get back. Or also another really good one is if you see they have a forum. Because a lot of one-man band kind of guys will create a forum. So it's like, hey, you can help each other out. And if you go over to the forum, and I've seen them where again, somebody either A is just completely overwhelmed and they're getting outmanned. And you'll see things like they'll ask a question and then you'll see like 2 days later, it's like, hello, anybody home? And then 3 days after that, I guess nobody's home. I guess I'll never get my, and then like 4 days after that, well, I guess I'm not using this plugin anymore. It's so you can kind of see in some cases, what to expect in terms of support. And you know,
we had somebody this week. Oh, I see I'm getting that echo again. That's so weird. I wonder why it's doing that on my end.
It's great because it makes
doing it wrong here. You don't hear it, huh?
No, I don't hear it at all.
It comes and goes. I wonder if it's a Google thing because I'm not talking for a while and then I come back in and it's raised the volume.
Might be.
If it's getting picked up somewhere. Anyways, our Twitter account this week on at Gallup, the at Strengths Finder account, somebody had asked them a question and it sat out there for 18 hours. We don't respond with that account. That's something we don't do on purpose. And so they found me and they were like, hey, I guess, you know, Strengths Finder doesn't answer anybody. That's one of those things. Like when you think about, you know, hey, if you're the developers are out there, you're like, Hey crickets, if you're going to develop something like that,
yeah,
you're going to have to be responsive, right? It's one of those things where you can't leave people hanging.
Well, and it's so fun because I have for years had said, you know, if you want to email me, it's just davidschoolofpodcasting.com. And people are used to that. But I when you join the School of Podcasting, there's a ticketing system. And I tell people, this is the best way because you're out of my inbox. And I want to make sure, especially, I mean, everybody's email is important, but as a member of the School of Podcasting, I really want to make sure yours does, you know, they don't fall through the cracks. And getting people out of the habit of just sending it to Dave, because I will then take it and turn it into a ticket just so we can keep track of that. But yeah, it's support is always fun. That's, you know, because in the end, it doesn't matter how good your product is. What really matters in many cases is what does your product look like, you know, when things don't do good. And that's really where you go from building a happy customer to a loyal customer, because now they feel safe that, hey, when this went bad, you know, they did this, they did that, and they fixed it, and boom, I'm back up and running. And so now they know that even if things go bad, they're still going to be okay. And that's one of the reasons, if we go And I mean, we're talking again 10 years ago when Libsyn was brand new. Okay. We're not talking Libsyn 2015. We're talking Libsyn 2004. This is a brand new industry and they didn't really know what to expect or, you know, things like that. And they didn't break a lot. But what was really cool is I forget what happened sometime, but one of the services they were using had a problem and this and that. And they came out and said, hey, we were down for, you know, 2 hours on Thursday. Here's why we went down. Here's what we've done to fix it. And here's why this will never happen again. So it was complete transparency. And the fact that they didn't go, it's their fault. It's kind of like, no, we did go down. They didn't, there wasn't any kind of monkey business. And they just owned it and said, we're really, really sorry. Here's why it won't happen again. And to me, that's when I went, whoa, this is not something you see on a regular basis to just have a company go, yep, my bad. Own it and then just say, and here's what we're doing. So it's not going to happen again. So that's when I really became a big Libsyn supporter that I was like, wow, there's just something you don't see a whole lot.
No, it is nice when they kind of just say, hey, when it's full transparency, this is just the way it is. Speaking of plugins, I converted, I'd been using Audio Boom to as a jukebox player on the front of my site, right? Mm-hmm. So in other words, all the podcasts in one group. And I know Blueberry and the plugin had created that functionality a while back. And I haven't gotten, let's say a couple months ago, maybe.
Yeah.
That functionality became available and I tried it. I tested it a couple of times. I finally cut over this week. So I removed the Audio Boom player. I went a little test to see see if it makes a difference. And I put in the Blueberry player in the same exact spot. It looks a little bit different. A little bit different controls. It's actually a little bit cleaner and it matches my theme a little bit better. It doesn't have the Audio Boom branding on it. I can put my own branding in it. It gives you the number of shows that you want to display. So I think it's defaults at 10 and I put in 5, which looks good on my site. And I've got it all colored to kind of match my site, which is I want the right-hand column to be all black and gray. And so that worked out, the part worked out really well for me. And so, yeah, I've been cutting over. I did notice as soon as I removed it, my Audio Boom numbers began to drop. Hmm. So I was doing a couple hundred in the Audio Boom. Those are now down into the 50s. And I should see if it's apples and apples, I should see a corresponding return on my RSS numbers, right? Because these are pulling directly. If it's being played, my assumption is it's going to be counted over on the Blueberry side. That's my assumption. That hasn't happened yet. So I'm not seeing the corresponding numbers showing up in my Blueberry feed for now. It could also be that the Audio Boom numbers are miscounted too, right? In other words, it was surprising to me I would get 300 plays on my player just because, right? It was one of those kinds of things. Are people really clicking and playing? You never know, right? It's one of those kinds of things. So I don't know whether to be like, okay, was this an overinflated Audio Boom number before we started, or is this a underreported PowerPress plugin problem that's happening now out of that? Maybe I probably need to talk to a one-on-one with Mike Dell and check on those things. And I'm not blaming, no blame here. I'm not saying anything's wrong. The plugin's broken. Not saying any of those kinds of things. I'm just telling you my experience on doing that.
Where can we see that at?
Go to theaverageguy.tv. And then just look in the right hand column there, and you'll see right under the search bar is that I call it my network jukebox because that's kind of it plays every show that we have.
Very cool.
It makes its way into that jukebox. Oh, it's great functionality, and I'm a big believer because I use a theme that doesn't put the player on the front page. Right, you got to click one in to get the player. Most people discover my site from the individual posts, not the front page, right? They do come to the front page. They'll see all the different shows that we have available. So I wanted to have a player on the front page of something. And the jukebox concept was the best way to do it. And it's worked out really, really well for me. So if you have if you're in a multi-show site where you have one site, you're playing a lot of different shows, I grab the main feed to do this, right? The main feed has all the podcasts in it. This plays them. And it's pretty cool. So good work on that, Blueberry.
Yeah, that's
it's really Angelo, right? Who does the
pretty much
development for that? Yeah.
Yeah, but that looks, you're right, that looks really cool. And it has the album artwork there. So in theory, if you, I think there's a plugin that will play your last episode Like you can put that into your sidebar. You can actually do this with that and just say, play one episode.
Yeah. If you wanted to do it that way. I like for everyone to see the richness of it. I'm going to try and work with these guys. You know, one of the things that was nice was, and I have, it's, this is not working for me, but the latest podcast pulls the album art in. And I know that's supposed to work. You can see right now I've got the network album art that I've just kind of stuck in there to, because I couldn't get it working the other way. But the Audio Boom player would say, so if it was Cyber Frontiers, you would see the Cyber Frontiers branding. If it was Home Gadget Geeks, you would see the Home Gadget Geeks branding. Whatever the number one, whatever in the number one slot, you see the album art for. Today I have the network album art in there. And it looks fine. It actually, and that's probably the way I should leave it. It looks nice, right? Doesn't that look clean?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. No, it looks great.
We have a great question from Nick. Nick says, any idea on what the new big announcement Raw Voice is going to be announcing at Podcast Movement? And here's the cool thing. Yeah, I do know. But here's the thing. This is why I want to point this out. If you want to know secrets, you can't spill them. That sounds really like weird, but if you want people to kind of go, because in some cases people will come to different people because they want their opinion. Like I was talking to some guy last week, and I would tell you the name, but I don't remember the name of the program. But somebody wants to build media hosting with ad insertion. And I told him, I said, have you looked into like Gigavox and all the history of this stuff? And he had never heard of it. I'm like, yeah, go find Michael Gohagen and see if you can buy it. It's already built, you know? If you can keep a good secret, it's a really good skill to have, because then people will tell you more. So mum is the word. You'll have to wait till next weekend.
Don't tell me secrets. I'm terrible at keeping secrets. I just don't. That's not the way I'm built. Well, so when people are like, hey, can I tell you something? Can you? And I'm like, no, just don't tell me.
Well, here's how you do it. You basically Google and you find the person that's telling the secret and you go, hey, it sure looks like Spotify is working on something. According to this post, I didn't say it. They did. So it's right. Kind of, that's how you basically kind of be, it's like, I didn't say a thing. That guy spilled the beans.
Well, that's how you break NDA, right?
Yeah.
In some ways. And sort of. So you have to be careful. Just because you have an NDA and somebody's already broken it doesn't mean that everybody gets to break it, right? As a Microsoft MVP, we have NDAs with Microsoft. They do not smile upon the waterfall effect. Like, oh, okay, so Paul Thurrott said it, so everybody can say it. You know, kind of deal.
So. Nick says, that's it. Everybody guessed it. They're bringing back the E's. Because right now it's blueberry with no E's.
Oh, nice.
Daniel's guessing they're actually upgrading to strawberry, which would be awesome. I love strawberries. Not a big fan of the blueberry. Love their service. Not a big fan of the fruit, though.
It's just a mixer fruit. You don't eat it by itself. You put it in something else.
Yeah. And I even tried blueberry back in the day. The cereal. No, not a fan. Count Chocula, I was all over that. Wow, there's a weird tangent.
But the marshmallows aren't bad.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not bad.
Also, another question for you, Jim. I don't use MediaFire a ton. Nick also had asked, it seemed like their speeds were up this week. You know?
Oh, no, I don't know anything. If I did, it was a secret. But the, no, I don't. No. They're constantly, you know, they're down in Houston or the Houston-Austin area down in South Texas. They could have done an infrastructure change. I don't really, for me, speed is not an issue. I never see it, right? So in my podcast flow, when I'm done with the two videos that I need for them, I just drag them in, drop them, and then go do other stuff. So, you know, I'm not, for me, it could take half a day. I wouldn't care. Now, I would care for my users trying to download them. I get, let's say I get 400 video downloads a month, a show on the stuff that we do. I've never gotten any negative feedback on it. So no one's ever said it's too slow for me. But that's great. If they're speeding up, that's great. Because that's the one, that's Daniel's big complaint, among other things.
Yeah.
They're really slow. If you're going to move, if you're going to buy MediaFire and you're going to move a whole bunch of files up there, it's going to be a while. It's like when you like CrashPlan, right? They're a backup service that would be, that a lot of our people in our community use. And it's not meant for speed. It's meant for storage. And so if you have a lot of data, the first time you go to back it up, it might take a month. To get all that data up there, that's just something you got to be ready for.
Yeah, I think Daniel had a problem where it wouldn't let him upload a big file. It kept,
like, yeah, I think so too. I'm not trying to pick on Daniel. There's some cases there. Their desktop client's not great. I don't install it. It's not. I use their web client to do everything. Now, if you're going to use them for storage, right? Yeah, you kind of want the web client. You know, you kind of want the desktop client. You're kind of like, well, that just should work, right? I should sync my files. It's kind of questionable.
Yeah. And speaking of desktop apps, I did hear on the Spreaker live show that they're working on, because right now we use Spreaker on the web and it's a Flash-based service. And we all kind of know Flash is, dead technology walking, basically. And so they're coming out sometime with a desktop app so that you won't have to worry about that. So it'll be fun to play with whenever that comes out. So that's I am looking forward to Podcast Movement for that. I know Paul Culligan has something coming out that I can't get him to crack on. I know Blueberry has something coming out. Libsyn just has the Libsyn plugin. And that's one of the things I have on my list today is to watch that presentation. I did hear where it's complete, like it will not work with PowerPress. And I'm like, okay. So, cause there's a lot of us that like, we got a lot of things in the PowerPress basket, even if we're not using it for our feed, it does do a cool player so I'll be interested to see cause you have to give a path to migration if you really want people to use it. Otherwise you are, it's going to be an interesting one. Cause on one hand, if you start using a brand new podcast and you're using their plugin, that also then kind of ties you into their service. Cause how do I migrate away from you if I'm using your, I don't know. It's one of those things I need to investigate a little more. And if you've wondered why I haven't talked about that, it's cause I don't know what I'm talking about yet.
It's still a secret.
Yeah. Well, it's not a complete secret. I mean, they have a video showing it off, but, I was just kind of like, And the other fun thing is today, of course, before, if you were listening on Mixlr, I always fire up Mixlr earlier, A, just because I don't forget to do it that way. And B, we just have a little pre-show. But Jim actually called in to make sure that the phone worked today. And of course,
nobody called.
We didn't get a single caller today. Yeah. Last week, we had people calling in left and right, couldn't hear anybody. And for the record, we should say, I contacted Blog Talk Radio. They are aware there's a very, very, very small bug, I guess. And they are working on it. And I thought, again, that was very, very cool that they were like, yeah, we're this and that. And it only happens on one out of every, like, bazillion people. And, of course, we're just happy enough to have it happen twice. So, that's another one I think we'll see very soon, where we're going to see their beta roll out and we're going to see exactly if their price is going to change or whatever. But I believe right now, if you actually sign up at Blog Talk Radio, you get the HD service. So it'll be interesting to see what else comes along. Speaking of being able to redirect a feed, because right now you can't from those guys. So, but it's been very cool with working with those guys. So another Saturday is in the books, and next week, you'll have Jim and probably me via phone or something, but Jim will be at the helm and it'll be fun. And I'll be calling from Podcast Movement, probably hoarse with no voice. And
will you be on the floor? Show floor?
Yeah. They have a really cool booth that I just kind of like, man, those guys do things so much better than other conferences that I am occasionally associated with.
You're going to be in the Central Time Zone too, right?
Yeah, that's what I have to figure out, what time I need to book that.
It'll be 9:30.
Yeah, 9:30. So, yep. But we're here every Saturday. AskThePodcastCoach.com/live. Find Jim at TheAverageGuy.tv. Find me at SchoolPodcasting.com. Use the coupon code ASK20 to save off your first month, and we'll see you next week with another episode of the Ask the Podcast Coach Show. Spreaker, by Blog Talk Radio, and we keep making